All right, so we're back with Trevor Bodie. He's a noted author, lecturer, and Vancouver Sun architecture critic. Hello, Trevor.
Hello, Trevor.
Hi. Well, I'm an architecture critic. I write about new buildings. I write about how the city is changing. Okay? I'm no great expert about Nanaimo, but what they've asked me to do is come and talk about how cities in Western Canada are changing. Like, what are the forces on our downtowns? How are the ways we're living in cities changing? So I'm going to show lots of pictures. I think this is one of the things we do in my business is we look, and we look carefully. And I think one of my ideas is that I used to think that places like Nanaimo and Courtney Comox, et cetera, were completely different and had nothing to do with what was happening in cities like Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed my opinion about that. What I see in the last few years is that a lot of the same forces that are changing Vancouver are also changing your city. And in fact, that's why looking at the amazing transformation of my town may indicate where Nanaimo's going, and maybe you might want to do something different.
Yeah, well, certainly in towns like Nanaimo, there's a bit of an idolization of bigger towns like Victoria and Vancouver, and there's, especially with this conference center we're putting in, there's all this talk about moving in that direction, so I think for sure what you're saying is true.
Well, and you know, we're doing the same thing here in Vancouver. You're building your conference center. Here in Vancouver, we're building a huge $500 million extension to our convention center. And it's on a very prime piece of waterfront land, just like yours, right in the heart of things. And frankly, there's never been a really good debate about whether we really need this. The figures are that conventions all over the continent have been less in number and fewer attendees since 2001. And there's no guarantee that that's going to go up. But all cities around the continent are in this kind of cold war where they're trying to outdo each other in building conference facilities. I think it's not necessarily the best investment of public money, and I think maybe we should take a long, hard look at that kind of direction for downtown development.
So once again, I just want to go back to something you just said. There's been fewer attendees since 2001, you think?
Exactly. So, but every city, remember the Cold War, the back and forth between the Russians and the Americans, and Ronald Reagan upped the spending on weapons and so on, and basically spent the poor Soviets into ruin. Well, it's a cold war out there when it comes to convention centers. You know, every city's got to have one. It's got to have a bigger and bigger one. And now cities the size of Nanaimo and so on are very much into the game, okay? So everybody's building them, et cetera. There isn't the business to keep them all functioning, and none of them make money. They're always heavily subsidized by the taxpayer, and they're always trotted out to be this savior for the tourism business and spin-off factors and so on. A lot of that stuff can be questioned, whether they really do make all that big a difference. I think in Nanaimo, for example, you have a wonderful remains of a downtown. You had a very, very distinctive pattern of streets and old buildings, etc. Bit by bit, it's been whittled away. And I think downtown Nanaimo is at a kind of tipping point where you could make one direction for preserving and keeping the character there and have one future, or you can haul off on another. So I sense that Nanaimo's at a kind of turning point about its future. And you know, in Vancouver, we're at the same, a very similar kind of choice point. We're having a big debate in Vancouver about whether we want to have a future as a resort. Our downtown has basically stopped making office buildings. There hasn't been one built for a few years. There's none planned. A lot of our existing office buildings are being converted into housing. So our downtown is at the verge of not being a downtown. It's turning into a high-end residential neighborhood. We've got this RAV line, this rapid transit line, planned out to the airport in Richmond. And when they did the studies on that, they predicted that more people will leave downtown Vancouver every day, going out to work in the suburbs, than coming back in. Which was a bit of a shock, because, you know, everyone thinks of downtown as where you go to work and so on. So those functions of our downtown are leaving rapidly, and it's turning into a resort area, a place for conventions, casinos, hotels, bars, and so on, and some very lovely condos. But it makes you wonder if our long-term economic interest might be better served by having a balance. And I think that's what good planning is you have a balance. You have places to work, live. You have a range of people of different incomes in your downtown. You hang on to the character that's there and you enforce it and so on. I think that's what good planning is. And I think both Nanaimo and Vancouver haven't had enough of a public debate about what good planning is. In other words, what is the city we want to have? Because I think people do have choices.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think as well, I'm interested in the whole theory of how it seems to me like there's kind of two divergent ideologies going on, and one is a little bit like, let's keep going in the direction that all these other big cities are going in, and let's make it bigger and better, and let's keep going in that direction, but more. Or a lot of people now are saying, wait a minute, why don't we like focus on maintaining what we have, keeping the people that are here happy, you know, looking at a different way of direction, looking at a different way of living, really.
Yeah, I think there's something there, but the interesting way it breaks for me is it doesn't break down on old-fashioned ideology lines. You know, it's not like there's some lefty solution that would make everyone happy. Mm. Here I am, you know, talking about trying to preserve office buildings in downtown Vancouver. Now, if you told me 10 years ago I'd be interested in that issue, I would have thought you're nuts. But my concern for a balanced city, a place to live and work together, to cut on energy use, so we'll have jobs concentrated where public transit is, that is downtown, that makes a lot of sense. So we're in a kind of new urban era where the old kind of breakdown right and left, or if the business community wants it, it's bad, and if the neighborhood, neighbors down the block want it, it's good. I think we have to see beyond that kind of analysis. So I think our cities are changing so quickly that the old rules have broken down, and that I think the most enlightened developers and planners understand that we've got to be a lot more flexible in how we think about cities, and which means that we have to be very, very careful when we trade away things. For example, in downtown Vancouver here, way back in the early 90s, our council, sponsored by the city planners, basically rezoned, changed the land use for a huge hunk of downtown, and everyone wanted downtown housing, and they thought that more people in the streets would be good, and I support all that. What they did, though, is they used a very ham-handed, too sweeping rezoning. Basically, nearly all of the downtown peninsula of Vancouver was turned into housing optional. Hmm. Now, what's happened is that every single one of those has developed. It wasn't housing optional. In other words, they gave developers a choice. If you want to do an office building, go ahead. If you want to do housing, you can do housing. What happened is that the market spoke, and everybody wanted to live downtown Vancouver. Now, why not? You've got Stanley Park, you've got theaters, you've got lots going on. It's a great place to live. But they didn't sit down and think, well, by rezoning the whole downtown, we just might end up killing, you know, downtown Vancouver as a place to do business for corporate headquarters and so on. So I think planning is a very, very subtle art. You know, ham-handed, sweeping, simple answers usually don't work. And those big, ham-handed, sweeping answers usually come from ideologies. I mean, be it no growth or super growth. And I think we need to find a way between those poles of ideology to do more careful city building.
It's quite interesting as well when you have nowadays a very centralized system of planning a city. And I was reading this book called Emergence, and it's about how the lives of ants can relate to cities and how cities are organized, and also they relate to the biological functioning of the brain. It's a really fascinating book. But the guy talks about in it how certain cities historically were just designed by the people, but not by any centralized force. It just kind of organically happened,
mm-hmm.
and how those cities function. And it's interesting because people nowadays find it really hard to imagine how something could be organized without a central organizing committee overlooking it all. But all the same, you sometimes have problems if that central organizing committee doesn't have a very broad overview of what's going on and what may happen. Then you get these situations where massive projects are planned, and then what they thought was going to happen doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they used to call it years ago the kind of master planning era, right, where we'd give these technocrats these huge sweeping powers, and they would determine where the bridges would go and the shape of every street and all that. I think we're past that period of master planning, partly because I think in some ways we don't trust the state to do all of that as much as we did before. At the same time, you're right. We can't just kind of funky improvise it. A lot of ways, that horrid strip that goes for miles and miles and miles north out of Nanaimo is a result of that kind of improvisation. I mean, one mall will get approved, then someone else will come up with a hunk of land further out, another one will get approved. Bit by bit, through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that was elaborated, improvised. And I think the net result is a pretty gruesome urban environment. It's a really tough place if you're a woman with a baby stroller wanting to go from one side of that to the other, and the parking lots and so on. There's a lack of even little things like greenery, like a little bit of planting and so on. You'd hardly know you're in Nanaimo. You're in this other land. And I think that shows the downside when you just improvise a city without a scheme. I think, for example, that strip could have been half as long, a little more intense. In other words, build it a little more tight on. You have all the same parking, whatever. But as you know, there's lots of gaps. There's a strip of retail, then there's a gap, and then some more here and there. And I think it's a kind of warning back to the city. God knows we all use it. I mean, every franchise operation in the universe is out there, and it's really the retail concentration. And in some ways, I don't think that even planners can tell people in your town, you know, don't go use the big box stores. I think there should be a place for them. I think they should be planned for and dealt with.
Do you think that strip is the result of the trust in the sort of what's called like the inherent wisdom of the market? And just sort of letting the laws of the market decide where things go in kind of a haphazard way?
Well, I don't even know if it was that ideologically driven. Again, I think it was improvised and literally unplanned, and one decision after another was made incrementally, like one little decision at a time, project by project, mall by mall. No one sat down. I think if someone in 1970 had drawn up a picture to show residents in Nanaimo, okay, here's what your 10-mile-long strip will look like from the air, right? This will be what it'll be like going from one side to the other. This is what Saturday shopping will be like when you have to drive 4 blocks here, 8 blocks there, a mile back that way. This will be how long you wait at the lights and so on. If someone had actually put a little package together and said, hey, this is what's coming, I think we could have done it better. I think with every shop there and so on, we could have done it better. And the irony, of course, is that sometimes these incremental decisions are in the long-term disinterest of business itself. In other words, you know, an inefficient, sprawling, poorly conceived strip doesn't even serve the interests of business well.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So, again, I think what you have in a lot of cities, people are often surprised that the business community is very involved with planning, and you would think in straight ideological terms, why would they bother? They should be against all forms of planning. It should be the ruling of the marketplace. But you'll find that nearly all businesses, especially here in Canada, are created by some form of government control and policy. And those controls and policies create niches, possibilities, into which businesses deliver a need. So I think in some ways, you know, the development industry is predicated on planning regulations. And the trouble is, there isn't enough public debate. Everybody thinks they're too difficult or obtuse, and sometimes they are, but everyone assumes that people are taking care of us, you know, that there's planners out there somewhere who will be figuring out the best future for
Nanaimo. Yeah, looking after our best interests.
And it's not always true. It's not always true. Yeah. I think often, as a writer, I tell you, it's better if you have a black hat and a white hat, you know, a bad guy and a good guy, and some evil person out there doing the bad plan, and the good people doing the good plan. But I tell you, it gets a little more complicated. Often it is just the spirit of improvisation, incrementalism, creeping incrementalism is one of those phrases that planners use about how you can get into real trouble one little decision at a time.
I think by standing back and looking at the big picture, though, you can see in terms of the direction in which we're going, you can see what is not necessarily a good direction in terms of sustainability and social happiness, and what is a better direction in terms of possibly like renewable energy, things like this. Like something I'm interested in that I was telling you earlier is about how architecture affects us socially, and how I was thinking the other day just about how a lot of our what used to be public space and free public space has basically been converted into malls. And of course we still have parks and things, but a lot of malls now serve that purpose for a lot of people, especially the elderly. That's the only place they can kind of get together socially still. And I wonder about how, first of all, how the architecture of a mall and the way that it looks, how that affects the way that we feel about things, whether that contributes to levels of depression and things like that.
Well, I think when citizens don't have choices, when they don't have options, and they don't have rich lives with lots of different kinds of stimulation, the research out there is that's when communities get into trouble, okay? Now, I think the best cities give a lot of choice, give a lot of possibilities. And that's why I think so much of the future of Nanaimo hangs on what is done in your downtown area in the very near future, because it's fascinating to me. It's all kind of coming together there in a way, and it's a kind of high noon now about the future of downtown Nanaimo. And I think decisions are being made kind of almost cruelly, cruelly early and wrong.
It's been a bit rushed.
Well, you've now got a walk-on ferry to downtown Vancouver, right, which will probably only increase in frequency and so on. If you look at the difference in housing prices between my town and your town, people could buy a house near downtown Nanaimo, walk on the ferry, walk off in downtown Vancouver, and pay for every day of ferry use, 5 days a week, for 30 years. I mean, that's, in other words, you know, it now makes sense for us to look about commuting that way. When you have faster service, hovercraft or whatever, if there's going to be some new technology of linkage, then all of a sudden Nanaimo is right there.
Yeah.
Now, to make a rich community, yes, you need public space. You need a variety of housing types. You need different ways for people to live. There's a place for single-family houses. There's a place for high-rise apartments, and there's a place for everything in between. It strikes to me that if it started to think of it as a very special place on Vancouver Island, I think you need to think of downtown Nanaimo as being the only place other than Victoria where a real urban experience can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And an urban experience is different kinds of people living together, rich streetscapes, rich variety of activities there, people living downtown.
I think
some planners and architects have looked at the streetscape of downtown Nanaimo and shown how you can put thousands and thousands of new apartments and condos, etc., down there without going high-rise and without swamping the character that's there. It can be done. It's not that hard. And I think the advantage would be is that then Nanaimo would have something unique. It would have an urban environment full of life, which is very close to a metropolitan area if you need it. It would provide choices for other Nanaimans. People who live in suburban areas could come in, could walk and have a different experience there. I think that the bones are there, and as an urban designer, I look at Nanaimo and I'm amazed. I love the kind of English high street feel of your downtown core. There's kind of a character there that is missing in most parts of this town, I tell you, because we have redeveloped and overdeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nanaimo is at a kind of crux point about what do we do with this? And I think the simple solutions of go casino, go resort, I don't think the future is resort is what we need in downtown Vancouver, and even though that's happening. And I don't think a future as a resort is the best thing for downtown Nanaimo.
Well, and the thing is, if it's not even what's best for Vancouver, and I think Vancouver can do it much bigger and better than we can, then there's no, it seems ridiculous that we're going in that same direction, even though, it might not even be better for the bigger city. And also, I think in terms of having a healthy urban experience, I think it is good as well to have people that are all from all walks of life financially living together, and also a place where local people who are making local products have a chance to be able to sell what they're making. You know, for example, a local bookstore where someone who's maybe published and written their own book can go and sell it, and a place where someone who makes a certain type of food can sell it in the local restaurant, or someone who's roasting coffee over on Gabriola can sell it at a restaurant, and that seems to be really important as well.
No, it's a very good point, and in economic terms, that's what the competitive advantage could be for downtown Nanaimo. In other words, strip businesses with franchise operations, et cetera, there's already a place for them. They're out there, and they're available. Why not try to have downtown Nanaimo deliver something different? Now, it's hard to deal with the whole supply chain and to make a place for the local exclusively, but what you can do, I think the crucial thing is first get more people living there. More people living there will make the streets safer, more active, and more lively. And once there's more people living there, I think there's also a natural tendency for people to set up businesses and so on. You know, baby boomers from all over the continent, all over this country are, dying to get out of the rat race and go set up a small business.
Totally.
They're all there looking at Nanaimo, and bookshops, tea shops, you name it. Lots of people want to do that. They want to have a different mode of life. If there's no urban space, streets, locations for this, Nanaimo will get overlooked and they'll go to Euclid or who knows where else. I think it is in everyone's interest to provide those kind of possibilities. Your point earlier, too, about mixing incomes and people. In Europe, in Paris and London, for example, in Paris, you'd have the wealthy living in lower floors of the building, and up higher in the very same building would be the servants and effectively the poor. They live together. One reason why streets in European cities are lively is that you get all mixed together. They have a place where they interact.
And there's still a lot of public markets there as well.
Yeah, public markets, you do your shopping every day, you walk around, you have a sense of urban community, and so on. Now, there's a great potential for urban community in your downtown and in your neighborhoods, and it's not that far away. And the example from many, both Eastern Canadian and American cities, is that cities that invest in, for example, heritage preservation, hanging on to your best buildings, that actively encourage people to live in the centers, that actively encourage bikeways and other green solutions. Mm. All of that ends up in their cities becoming attractive to new investment. So the money will come in a different way, and will work in a different fashion. And I think that's probably the most optimistic and interesting potential future for Nanaimo, is to say, well, damn it, we're not a strip, we're not just a generic beach town, we're not just a retirement community. We have this ace in the hole called downtown, with its character and its variety of buildings and its kind of gruff, improvised nature. I really like downtown Nanaimo because it is so different. It doesn't look like generic town. Mm-hmm. And if you marshal that resource well, you have what could be the real economic engine of the whole region. You know, there will come a time, you know, when downtown Nanaimo will be thought of as a great place to do business, but better, more interesting, greener types of business, knowledge business, creative design industries, that sort of thing.
And it provides leadership to other small towns on the island as well, I think.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Exactly.
Trevor, hi. This is James here. I've been here listening. What I want to know then is, if you can comment on this, that if we do have these conference center packages, conference center slash hotel
slash
casino packages being built all over North America, and indeed I understand all over the world. I hear they're really going up in China now and places like that. There's a lot of information out there that it's really hit and miss, and that it is a gamble. Why do we see city councils signing on to this so often when, you know, when there is, you
so
know, public outcry and, you know.
Yeah. Well, one suggestion I give to your listeners is that there's a wonderful study from something called the Brookings Institute, and you could Google that and study on convention centers, but they did a very thorough statistical analysis of convention centers, how much business there is, et cetera. And basic surmise that they came up with was that there are enormous sinkholes. They are ways to support the local development and construction industries that don't yield a lot of new tax revenue, that don't really serve unfulfilled functions, and that the convention centers are sitting emptier and emptier as years go on. Now, what happens is the counter-argument is, oh, well, we've got to do it, because if we don't do it, Courtney Comox will steal all of our convention industry, right? Well, again, I think those kind of arguments are very, very suspicious. You know, in a lot of ways, the convention center building business is a lot like the sports stadium building business. You know, if you watch major league teams, they often threaten to leave a town unless the civic government ponies up and gives them tax breaks and builds an expensive stadium. And often these are huge investments of public money. Here in Vancouver, we have BC Place Stadium, which now is home to, I think it's 10 Lions home games a year. There's a handful of trade shows, and otherwise it's empty.
It's empty most of the time.
The public subsidy per football game is $1 million a game. If you take the cost of that building, you amortize it over time, it means every time the Lions play, there's an effective public subsidy of $1 million. There's now actually a proposal getting some hearing to tear the bloody thing down. You know, in other words, accommodate the Lions elsewhere. The land is too valuable. It's too important a part of the central city to waste for so little use. So that's, you know, it's very interesting. We've got the point where stadiums are coming down, going up. We have to think the same way about convention centers. Again, there's all sorts of very, very creative accounting that goes on. There's these huge spin-offs, you know, spin-off factors that are huge, right? That supposedly accrue from having, you know, convention floors, et cetera. I think those things tend to be exaggerated. And also, I think the one area of the convention business that's held up the best has been, ironically, the small ones. The small little conferences of 100, 200, 300 people, often professional groups or academic groups. Or
which we can already accommodate.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And, well, if my advice to Nanaimo would be, you know, get off this big, huge, honking 500 to 1,000-person convention trajectory that it wants to get on, and say instead, well, we don't want that kind of business. We want these smart groups who will be attracted to the character of our town, that will want an experience of smaller hotels, bed and breakfast, other things circulated around our inner city, that there would be, you know, like bicycle conventions, delegates would be lent a bike jitneys that would take you around town, that it, you know, that we would offer a different kind of experience. Mm-hmm. Go out to Newcastle Island for banquet or a barbecue, you know, that say, well, we're not going to play that game. You know, we don't necessarily want the kind of business that everyone else does. We're going to create a niche business. We want these kinds of gatherings. And often they're the ones paying the highest daily rates, et cetera. So I think I don't want to write off conventions. I think they're important. And tourism is a really crucial industry in your town. And it's a good industry. It's a clean one. It's one that builds on your character, and so on. So I think there's a place for it. It's just the scale and nature of the choice.
I think as well with these, from what I understand about this big one that's coming in, or that is probably going to come in, the Marriott one, a lot of the money, of course, will be spent at the Marriott Hotel, because people are going to be staying at that hotel. And then in the lobby of the hotel, there's all the franchise businesses. And as well, from what I understand, a lot of the rest of the area that's now being sort of businesses that have been bought up or expropriated by the city, that space is going to be nationally marketed from Toronto, and local small independent businesses won't get a look in. It'll be sold off to franchises. So this money is not really going to go to Nanaimo except in the form of minimum wage jobs to the people that are lucky enough to work at Starbucks.
Well, that's interesting because, again, I'm a Vancouverite who doesn't know a lot about the micro-scale details of the current proposal. All I'm saying, though, that that pattern is consistent with what I've seen in other cities when they do this. It is, it's not just the convention center and the attached hotel. It becomes a kind of whole thin edge of a wedge of a redevelopment of a portion of the city, which by its nature and by the rents it's charging, et cetera, will exclude local businesses that have served the community well. It's hard, you know, we can't in this country make laws that say that only local businesses can rent the space. But what we don't need to do is to use public money as subsidy that creates a kind of economic trap into which only large national operations can afford to jump into. You know what I mean? I think I'd be the last, I'd fight anyone who'd say well, no national companies need apply. I don't think we need that. But we do. What we do need to be careful about is how we marshal our public investment. You know, public investment's a pretty powerful thing. And frankly, business in this country and most other countries runs on it. It's very, very important. For all their talk about not wanting, you know, public involvement in the marketplace, you look at most businesses and they're very, very interested in getting whatever subsidies they can. Mm. So I think we have to be very careful about the kind of subsidies that go into supposed downtown renewal. I mean, it's hard for downtown Nanaimo. I mean, the Malaspina Hotel sitting there, half-built for all these years, is a depressing symbol. There's no question about it, you know. But to me, it's also a symbol of a failed development ethos.
Right.
You know, and I just wonder if it's a kind of symbol of what may come. You know, it may be not just one deal that went wrong. It may be a symbol of a kind of deal that is going wrong repeatedly.
Yeah, a bad direction.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, a few of those, and you have, you know, you have corrupted your downtown and removed choice for the Nanaimans who want to do things differently. I think the point about the national chain stores, et cetera, and the captured dollars of the convention market is a very good one, because in some ways you can look at that as taking the same ethos and lifestyle of the Strip, and now taking it downtown. And I think that would be really unfortunate, because it will remove a choice for people.
Well, thank you very much for all of your thoughts. And for those of you who'd like to hear more and also see a slideshow concerning all this, the slideshows are really great to kind of give people something to look at. So,
yeah, a lot of what I'll show will be other places. I think sometimes it's, again, I'm not a great expert Nanaimo. I'm going to speak more generally. I'm going to show other towns and other cities. I'm even going to leave Canada, because you asked me about Very False Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a strange thing I encountered. I was in the Middle East. I was in Persian Gulf, a country called United Arab Emirates, a couple of years ago. And I bumped into an ex-Vancouverite, a guy who used to work here.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me what I was doing. I said, oh, I'm giving a talk, blah, blah, blah. Then he asked me, Trevor, do you know what we're doing here? And I said, no. He says, well, wait, next day I'll send you a car and we'll take you out to see something. Well, he took me outside Dubai into the Arabian Desert, so hot that not even cactus was growing. And we stopped at this huge construction site. We got out of the car and he said, look down there. And I looked down, and there was this huge excavation. Water was filling into this pond, whatever. I took a very careful look at it, and I couldn't believe it. They have built False Creek, full scale, in the Arabian Desert. They've done a version of False Creek, and around it, they're now building Vancouver-style, skinny high-rise towers and townhouse bases.
Wow.
And it's no accident. The Sultan used to come to Vancouver, liked it, wanted it, and told his ministers to make it so. So
wow.
This is the kind of world we're in, where there's a little fake Vancouver being built in the Middle East.
Oh, my
so
God.
So in other words, I think a lot of these forces are global, and the exchange of ideas is universal. So come and hear the story of Very False Creek.
Oh, so you'll be talking about that as well.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Oh, great. Do you have pictures of it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that's on Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m., and it's at the John Barsby Auditorium. And for people who are wondering where that is, it's at the John Barsby School, which is at 557th Street here in Nanaimo. So, wow, yeah, a lot of cool information. Thank you very much.
Great. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks very much.
All
bye
right.
Bye.